From the Sky News Centre at 1. 2 days before the British Airways cabin crew strikes due to start, their chief executive has held last-minute talks. Willie Walsh is understood to have had a meeting with Tony Woodley, the leader of the Unite Union, this morning. Our business correspondent Joel Hill says there's a meeting of union reps in central London this afternoon.
That's significant because it suggests that he has something to put to them. Now, we don't know what that is. Has BA retabled its offer? Has it put a new one on the table? What's happened? We don't know.
The father, Sahil Saeed, the British boy who was kidnapped in Pakistan a fortnight ago, says he's overjoyed to be reunited with his son. The five-year-old was freed by his kidnappers on Tuesday after his family paid more than £100,000 in ransom money. Raja Saeed is now bringing his son back to Britain. Two servicemen killed in Afghanistan on Tuesday have been named as Lance Corporal Scott Hardy and Private James Grigg. They were both from 1st Battalion, the Royal Anglian Regiment. The funerals of two toddlers found dead in the boot of a car in East Sussex have taken place. 3-year-old Harry Donison and his 2-year-old sister Elise were discovered in holdalls in Heathfield in January. Their mother Fiona Donison has been charged with their murders. Facebook's having to explain to the Home Secretary why the website isn't using a report abuse button used by other social networking sites. The panic button's operated by the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Centre. It allows users to report suspect behaviour. Chris Cloakes, head of Child Protection and Awareness at the NSPCC.
All social networking sites need to do all they can to ensure that children, young people are properly protected. And we think the CEOP button, you know, works well. I think importantly, children and young people are now very familiar with it.
And a list has been compiled of the top 10 things women do to annoy men. They include clogging up the plug hole with hair, asking them to explain film plots during the movie, and talking incessantly. On the other hand, men admit they love the way women walk, talk and smell. That's the latest. I'm Kat Higgins.
Bristol Community FM 93.2. Your voice, your choice. Digital TV switchover is coming to the West Region in March. Everybody in Bristol needs to be ready.
Do you need help in switching to digital TV? If you are 75 or over, registered blind or partially sighted, or eligible for disability benefits, the Switchover Help Scheme offers practical help to convert one of your TV sets to digital. To get the help you are entitled to, you need to reply to the letter the Help Scheme has sent you. It's not too late. Fill out the application form and return it to us or phone our free help scheme number 0800 4087 656.
The Switchover Help Scheme is run by the BBC under agreement with the government. For further information, visit the website helpscheme.co.uk. BCFM is the community radio station for Bristol and is here to give everybody in Bristol a voice.
Sandra. Wagwan Bristol. It's Big Gregor's representing Elite Entertainment. You're in tune to the typical tropical Afro tropical show. 93.2 FM. BCFM. Shout to my boy Cyrus the Virus. You're doing it large, blood. Keep in tune, yeah. It's all about Cyrus right about now.
Have you heard? It's a typical tropical Afro tropical show with me, Cyrus. The Pope to visit the Queen of England coming in September. Oh yes, indeed. And there's an outcry about that, what he said about gays, abortions and homosexuality in general. Still, well, they apologised today though. Well, not a total apology. Have you heard? It's me, Cyrus Vaz. I'm here with Tony Gosling, an intrepid investigator, reporter, journalist. What's he going to be talking about today? Oh, horsemen, we're going to go into the book of Revelations. Prophecies, prophecies, preach. Can I get a witness? Have you heard 90,000 photographs of a soldier in body armour with saying get some packies on there? They tried to airbrush them out, but they've got through. 70,000 copies have gone out to serving troops. Not the kind of PR that the MOD want to promote. No matter what they've done, you've got to support a hero. Have you heard? Yesterday, a 14-year-old girl was found lap dancing. I want to ask myself, was there no one in the place that didn't understand that she was 14 years old? But ID checks, oh my goodness, and she's drinking 14 vodka shots. The new legal high that kills people, where there's drugs for you, you know, an inquisitive mind, an inquisitive brain. That's how human nature is. We might be talking about that a little bit later on the show about the downfalls and the pitfalls of taking any forms of drugs. Yes, it's me, Sarge Bars, on the typical topical 93.2 BCFM Sony award-winning station. I'm here with my good friend and peer, Tony, Mr. Tony Gosling. How are you, Tony?
Oh, fine, Cyrus. Nice to see you again.
It's absolutely fine. And we was talking off air about that new cat drug, Meow Meow. there's a lot of news about it in the papers today and been this week. You might have something on that.
Well, I do. It's just my view on the way that this whole drug scene works. And I've got some good mates who were really into ecstasy when that first appeared on the scene back in the 90s and sort of part of the rave scene. And this, to me, is just a sort of continuation of what was going on in those days, because it started off with really high quality MDMA, which clearly was, you know, it was a kind of new thing on the scene. And even after, over the sort of first couple of years that was around, I've actually never myself ever taken this stuff, but talking to other people who were sort of what they would consider connoisseurs of that kind of thing, as they would tell me that, oh, this stuff's been adulterated, this last lot that's come along has been adulterated, and it's been changed and it's been modified, and it's nowhere near the effect that the original stuff had. Now this latest one seems to me to be like the ultimate kind of just turning this into some kind of pure chemical, right? And it doesn't actually have any real kind of psychoactive part to it. That is to say, it's not uplifting, it's not expanding people's minds at all.
It's just a chemical.
Yeah, that's all. So it's this organised crime that run all this, of course, and they are actually using it for a form of social engineering.
I was going to leave it a little bit later before we brought in Gordon Brown and his crew, but yeah, you brought them up, Tony.
Well, organised crime, I would say, is more linked to the City of London than it is linked to the government itself. Yeah, so the City of London and organised crime are always putting pressure on the government.
Wouldn't you say that the best brains in the world would probably work for the government, the biggest contracts, the pharmaceutical companies have got some of the greatest.
Well, they do get contracts. I think they're very good these days at getting government contracts and taking public money, whether it's local city council contracts or else big ones for defence contracts, for big central government
as
ones.
As you know, the guys of war, the money budget that goes on there that they can actually get for funding of nude... And what a great place to test.
the battlefield. What a great place to test.
Well, they'll sign contracts for big defence contracts and things like that. And then after a few years, they say, I'm very sorry, but the actual amount that you're going to have to pay us is doubled. Otherwise, you don't get any aircraft carriers at all.
There you go. More of Sars Rice and Tony Gosling on coming up on the Typical Topical Afro Tropical Show. I've got a big shout out for yesterday for Soul's Liberation. It's his birthday. I know you like listening to the show. Belinda, maybe you want to come in and we can chat, we can debate. That's what we do on this show. We debate all people, you know, horses for courses. I've got a voice, you've got an opinion. But always remember, my opinion's always right. No, it's not. And this is from a ghetto children, Ghetto City, Gotham City, R. Kelly. For them foundation youths out there, for the big people out there, the lunchtime crew, for the big drivers them.
Yo, everybody's talking about the good old days,
And all the sexy girls, sunshine's coming out. Now we gotta do what we gotta do.
Sit up on the porch in the summertime and just talk about just making it, you know what I'm saying? Being successful, following after our dreams, you know. And I believe that's every kid's dream, you know what I'm saying? To rise and be somebody, but damn, sometimes we just get caught up.
I ain't got no money, and I ain't got no friends. Looks like my world is coming to an end. No food on the table, no clothes on my back, no shoes on my feet, and I just barely got a used Cadillac. Now ain't that ghetto for ya? But somehow it's got to change, yeah, ghetto for ya. So I took this remix and rearranged Gotham City.
City of love.
City of love. A city of peace
for
every one of us. Cause we all need it. Gotham City for the ghetto. Yeah.
Gotham City for the ghetto. That's what I'm talking about.
Ghetto fabulous, to a health be hazardous. If you want test ravenous, for the respect, STRINGS, yes. The rest, give me the best. Why should I have to settle for less when I can push V12s with finesse and all that mess? You can try to hold me back, but I keep on chugging till I hit the sky. Even if you wanted to, you can't deny. Gotta feed baby girl, do or die.
We keep talking about escalating. Well, who's gonna go first? Guess I'll be the one to step up. If you don't follow me, it would be the worst. Every time something goes down.
Yeah, reportedly, street corner, street news, street views. Our brother DMX looking like he's having to go back inside doing time in the pen again. 5 violations of the white powder, the cocaine this time. We hope the brother gets well soon and gets it.
But somehow it's got the change, yeah. Get on for ya. So I took this remix.
Street news, street views. D'Angelo, remembering Brown Sugar Babes. He's pleaded not guilty for soliciting an undercover police officer in the Vice Squad, offering about $40, £27 for oral pleasure. D'Angelo, boy, how the mighty have fallen, wounded.
Now I'm gonna act surprised, cause you afraid to change, scared to rise. That's why you're getting left behind. Out of sight, out of mind, cause ain't nobody.
Back on the road, back on the track, we're gonna be having a look at secret societies in London. Me and Tony Godden and the Book of Revelation. And some of the prophecies.
Gotham City for the ghetto.
Yeah. That's right.
When they ask about the typical tropical Afro tropical show, quote this.
Send your love down to the ghetto, yeah. Talking about a land where there will be no more crying, no more crying, no. Boy. A place where we can all just get along.
children will sing little love songs.
Sing, y'all. Smile.
In a land where city of love.
That's how it is for the streets. There could only be one Sarsa Rasa, typical tropical, 93.2 BCFM. That's how we do what we do. Tony. Let's talk about the secret societies in London. I don't want to go back to the Houses of Parliament and Westminster. What else is going on?
Well, this is just a little bit of info from what I would consider to be a kind of conspiracy bible, really. It's called The Secrets and Lies, is the name of the book, and it's by David Southwell. He's also a chap who's written The History of Organised Crime. Mm. So that's he's got a very outspoken current author, and its subtitle is Exposing the World of Cover-Ups and Deception. Now, you can go to any charity shop in the country and find all sorts of books like this, but this is the only one I've come across which has been published in the last few years, which is bang up to date, and also, you know, he's looking at stuff which is actually very well sourced. He's not just speculating, and if he is, he makes it very clear, I'm speculating on this. Right. The other thing with David is he was the public relations guy for the British Retail Consortium. Now, the British Retail Consortium are basically the people who run, they are association of high street shops, these big chains and things like that. He's also privy to a lot of interesting information. And he's one of the rare people who's involved in public relations whose heart isn't in it. He does it because it's a day job, but in the evenings he's sitting there researching into secret societies and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, the underground Masonic courtroom, this is in the heart of London's West End, and this is just one of the entries in this book. Yeah. It's got literally hundreds of different in little investigations. If any part of London is the beating heart of London's West End, it's Piccadilly Circus, an intersection of some of the most famous streets in the world. With its neon apocalypse of advertising signs and the famous statue of Eros, it's become a tourist attraction in its own right. Thousands of people pass over Piccadilly Circus every day, yet none are aware that beneath their feet lies a secret Masonic temple, also used as London's Freemasons' Court, where Masonic judges and lawyers put on trial their brothers in the craft who've broken Masonic law. Outside of Freemasonry, few people know it even exists, though it was used as a location in Alan Moore's influential movie From Hell. Its status as a real place has been questioned, and it should not be. It exists and is part of a larger collection of Masonic temples in the Piccadilly Circus area. Because, of course, you know, maybe, Cyrus, that London is the centre of world Freemasonry, and there's a big Masonic temple in Covent Garden,
yeah,
where the guy that hangs out there is the Grand Master of world Freemasonry, the Duke of Kent. Well, I mean, he's
not any old body, then.
No. Anyway,
bring me another baby.
Anyway, just to carry on this little thing about this particular courtroom at Piccadilly, in the late Victorian period, a series of above ground and underground temples was constructed to cater for Freemasons, whose other gentlemen's clubs were located in the West End and Westminster. And of course, you would probably know that it's at gentlemen's clubs,
yeah,
that much is decided in this country. You know, yeah, you get people who get together in the evening after they've been to Parliament, or after they've been to work in the media, mm, or after they've been to some other perhaps, or the courts,
or after they've been finishing having sex with rent boys in the West End up where they round the corner in Leicester Square. If you ever been round Leicester Square in the old, you know, that's rife around there.
Well, I think it's fair to say there's that kind of stuff does go on amongst certain parts of the ruling classes, but these gentlemen's clubs are almost like recruiting grounds, and also there is a very much a sort of Freemasonic style of speakeasy thing goes on there, so we can be the best of mates at the club, whereas we'll appear on TV and be on opposite sides of the screen,
yeah,
and so people will think that we're actually against each other. Anyway, although it's not in use today, there's still a Masonic temple on the top floor of the famous Lily White store.
Wow.
Those similar temples at the top of the Regent's Palace Hotel, the Trocadero, and 7211 Coventry Street, which is now an HMV record shop, are no longer in use. A similar number of temples were constructed underground. At least two remain in full operation. That includes one in the basement of the Café Royal, which is entered through a secret door in the cloakroom, and the courtroom could be entered from the old Criterion restaurant and through another location, which he cannot reveal, David Southwell says here, for legal reasons, as this is the route I used to investigate it. And the Freemason Corps also functioned as the Masonic Temple connected to the Lodge that drew its members from the Hardwick Society, which is a debating club for London's judges, lawyers and barristers, which provided the judges for the court. So you can see almost what's going on here is a kind of entirely parallel judicial system in amongst Freemasonry, which is totally secret. I mean, no one would know that a judgment had been given against somebody, and also their laws aren't even made public the way they're deciding. It's a kind of parallel system, and I think it's quite parasitic.
Very, very, very parasitic. Very. When you say a parallel, so they exist in our world, but they're not really part of our world. Are they manufacturing things, decisions?
Well, I think they have all sorts of... They're making all sorts of decisions about what's good for us, but without any kind of accountability whatsoever.
No, but they don't have to account, do they? They
have to account to their own consciences, Cyrus. I think, you know, that's the only thing we can hope there, really.
My question is, this week we've seen for the first time, I want your opinion on this, America rebuking Israel.
Well, it's not the first time. Look, it's not the first time. This is a regular thing that actually happens. I mean, you're talking about Joe Biden's visit to Israel, and then they've announced 1,600 settlements, which is really sticking two fingers up at the Americans whilst they're visiting.
It's not really, is it? They have. They've done. Is this a shift of power?
Anyway, this is all, I'm afraid, a rather sorry pantomime. And if you're familiar with the Situationists in Paris in the 1960s, in the uprising in Paris, they would tell you that this is a spectacle for the public. This is just, they're putting on a show, and when the Americans then start stamping their feet and saying, oh, this isn't good enough, that's all they'll do. They won't threaten to cut off the money, and they won't cut off the money to Israel, because this is all just for the public.
But don't you think this will, because I know we're going to talk about the revelations, I was going to say, but there has to be a shift of power, because Israel will become the ruling country, because they will, if you believe in prophecies, they will, the Antichrist will be assisted by 70,000 Jews at all times when he travels. They will come from Syria, so it will be from Jerusalem has to arrive there. They are digging under the Masjid at Axel and saying for other reasons, but that is where that's where the throne of Solomon was. And if you actually read the scriptures properly, the throne, the jinns couldn't get near it, the demons couldn't get near it, they was destroyed, so they sent humans there to get the scrolls out, which they think is a lot of this Masonic knowledge.
Well, a lot of, if you go onto my website at bilderberg.org, you'll see that I've actually put up on there the Royal Arch, the Masonic Royal Arch initiation ceremony, which is it complete. Because if you ever get a book with it in, you'll find that there's lots of words missing and letters missing. Yeah. And what I've done is I've actually got an ex-Freemason to fill in all the gaps, so you can see what the ritual is. And it's very much what you were just saying, sending people in to get information from the temple site in Jerusalem. And, of course, what we've seen going along with this visit of Joe Biden to Israel last week or so is also... A rather worrying development, which is the prohibition by the Israeli authorities of Muslims to be able to actually even get access to some of these holy sites. Now, this is extremely inflammatory and is likely to, you know, kick off all sorts of protests. I mean, imagine if you sort of went to church every week and suddenly somebody put an armed guard in front of the church and said, no, you can't come this way, you can't come to church. You know, people are going to get rather annoyed about that, and it's effectively what the Israeli authorities have done. And I think you have to also, it's very important to understand that this is the Israeli state. This is not Jews, this is not anybody but the Israeli state. It's not even Zionists, because there are many people who believe in the state of Israel being there who are dead against this attitude by the state.
I understand that, but you say it's not even Zionists. All right, then we could put the Zionists Zionist undertones to the far right of...
What I'm saying is there are some people who believe in the state of Israel, which is a sort of Zionist movement, who are also dead against the prejudice against the Palestinians and the Arabs. Mm. Yeah, so there's all sorts of, if you say the Zionist movement itself has been responsible for what's happened many Jews who are part of that movement are totally dead against any kind of prejudice against the Palestinians. So it's a minority, the more extreme elements of the Zionists, and it's also now full on the Israeli state and military, and Benjamin Netanyahu really should be ashamed as Prime Minister of Israel of what his state is up to right now, because they're authoritarian, totalitarian.
Well, he won't be. That's the sad thing about it. I don't know if you watched on Monday night the Panorama done an expo on the children of Gaza, and it was actually showing the mental state of these children, and by you killing their fathers and their mothers and their tradition or their family culture and their nature, it's
brewing up sectarian hatred for the future, isn't it?
You've got 8-year-olds talking about revenge in their father, and if you know anything about Islam prescribes revenge. It's another thing they don't want, but it prescribes it. It says it's the only thing that can ease the mother's heart. This is why you see with the young Jamie Bulger case, the mother keeps on, because she doesn't feel that she's had justice, her heart hasn't been avenged. God says sometimes these things, you either take a blood money and accept it and leave it, or sometimes they need to be avenged.
The trouble is, so sorry, the philosophy of vengeance really just leads to more and a spiral of violence. There's one thing I always think is really important at that stage, and that is if you've got someone who's committed an evil act of some sort, if they won't repent of it, if they won't genuinely in their heart apologise for it, if they've said no, you know, I don't think I've done anything wrong, then it's very, very difficult for someone to forgive them, isn't it?
Of course it is. I mean, you've got to look at the act. I was talking to what's his name, I work with Steve St. Norman, and I was saying, imagine the hatred in a person's heart that you actually go to attack them with an Apache attack helicopter in a marketplace. I can't remember the crippled sheikh that they killed in the market.
We've set up many, many of these kind of conflicts around the world now. Mostly responsibility of NATO, where what's happening is fully armed to the teeth, military units are taking on civilian populations. And this was what the United Nations Charter, which was signed in the 1940s after the Second World War, was designed to stop. There's absolutely no way that the military should be taking on civilians at all, and even many military people would say the same. That's not what we're here for. We don't mind defending our country, but we're not out there to go and invade foreign countries and kill their civilians.
Which is happening. Look, we got more coming up with Mr. Gosling after this. It's My Thing EPMD. So we do it on the typical tropical Afro tropical 93.2 BCFM. When they talk about classics, you have to remember this one. Yeah, we've got it, the eclectic mix. Real chat, real people, real conversations, real music.
MCs out there, you better stand clear. EPMD is a world premiere. From New York, straight talk, America's best. Cold Wild Long Island is where we rest.
The style of the rap makes your hands clap. Take care of yourself because the lines are strapped. They mean business, no time for play. If you buy a line, they blow your way. The more you bite, your body gets hot. Don't get too close because you might get shot. No one out my bomb like a poisonous rat. Don't play dumb, boy, you're smarter than that.
It's my thing. The rhythmatic style keeps the rhyme flowing. The brain's already biting without you knowing. Can't understand why your body's getting weaker. Then you realize that the voice from the speaker. The mind become delirious. Situation serious. Don't get ill. Go and get curious.
Enough about that. Let's get on to something better. And if it gets warm, take off the hot sweater. And if you want some water, I get you a cup. And if you don't want it, then burn the hell up. I'm telling you now, boy, you ain't jack. Talking much junk, Mr. T is your back, but he's not. So don't act cute, cause if we do, you in high pursuit.
It's my thing. As the song goes on, you will notice a change. The way I throw down, the way I say my name. The mic that I'm packing is flame resistant, so it's cool and keep your distance. When I walk into the party, girls are screaming at me. I park my mic in my host, and then I yell, freeze.
Freeze, 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 freeze.
Music, please.
Oh, where was I? Oh, yes, say a deaf rhyme, then I put him to rest. Every time I rock a rhyme, I can tell that you like it. The notion is strong like the mind of a psychic. The mind is weary, floating like a dove. Sweating the thing like a jewel's make a love. Control the crowd so they can accept it. Total concentration is the perfect mix.
It's my thing.
I feel it's time to preach, I feel it's time to teach. Can I give a witness?
The strong I attack, the ones who got the mic and freeze. I throw back, I perfect and eject, make MC sweat. Take them off on the mic, then I tell them step. Not waiting or debating, cause MC keep hating. Playing me too close, like two dogs mating.
Now let's get on with the rest of the lesson. Don't really like it when suckers start messing. Trying to make a scene, talking very loud. Talking much junk to attract the crowd. You say you want to battle, your first mistake. You get quiet and stuff like you was out of weight. End up beginning, you knew you wasn't winning. Now you feel shame, your head starts bending. Kind of upset, boy, I understand. You lost again, I won, goddamn.
It's my thing.
It's my thing there by EPMD coming to you.
Put you in the spirit. I'll speak a little louder for you, suckers.
From me, Sars of Rise, 93.2 FM.
And at the crown of my mic, flash a danger sign, cause I'm the thriller of Manila. Empty coke killer. Drink Budweiser, cannot stand Miller. MC's cold clock until the party's through. Then they tap me on my shoulder and say, this buzz for you. To be a real MC.
Look out what's on the street this week, on the street corner. Diggy Simmons, little son of Russell Simmons. No, not Russell Simmons, Reverend Simmons. He's got his music coming out and he said he's been inspired by the Wu-Tang, so we're not getting no lollipop hip-hop from him.
The motion of water, smooth.
Record is spinning, got your fly girly grinning. MD is on the mic, you know I'm only beginning. Rhymes fresh and fresh, never heard me fest. Scored 110 on my MC test. My rhymes are stronger than Tyson. Hold the MC license when I grab the mic. MCs get frightened.
I'm dangerous, I need to cross some bones. Lounge on, boy, you
yeah, time waits for no man. And revelations. And we, you know, Tony's going to talk to us about what, the four apocalypse, is it, Tony?
The four horsemen of the apocalypse, horsemen. Yeah. I mean, I personally, this is about 8 years ago now, went on a lovely holiday to the Greek islands, to a little tiny island called Lipsos. And it wasn't a lot to do there. We were there for 2 weeks. It was absolutely gorgeous, really, really beautiful. I'd recommend anybody, if they're interested in going to the Greek islands, check out this little Lipsos island, because it's relatively unspoilt. One little cash point on the entire island. And but it just so happened, one of the little excursions you could do, a little day trip, was to the island of Patmos. And Patmos was the island that John, St. John, who wrote John's Gospel, was exiled to by the Romans, because he was causing all sorts of trouble for the Romans on the mainland in Asia Minor. So they said, look, we've got to get rid of this guy. So they stuck him on this island of Patmos in out in the middle of nowhere, where there's now a really beautiful, I think it's a Greek Orthodox monastery on the top of the island, with all these actually very friendly and quite down-to-earth, I don't know what they are, cardinals or monks or something up there. And so it was quite nice to actually have a chance to visit the place where John had his revelation. And it's actually a very radical island. There's a lot of people who live on the island who are actually very outspoken against NATO and against the European Union and that sort of thing. But that's where, when he, in his very old age, John, I think he was in his 90s, when he had this amazing vision of these beasts coming out of the water, out of the Mediterranean Sea, around the island. And he had his little assistant, I can't remember the little fella's name, but anyway, he couldn't hardly write himself. He was very old and infirm, so he got his assistant to write down the Book of Revelation there and then. Now, there's a lot of dispute over the years over whether it should be included in the Bible or not. And I remember when I was living over in Northern Ireland, I got a visit from one of the, I think he was a Methodist vicar, local vicar, or maybe a Presbyterian vicar, knocked on the door and said, oh, you know, we're just trying to get more people to go to church. And I said to him, look, what about Revelation? This is a fascinating book. I find it really interesting to read. And his answer to me was, well, no one understands that. And actually, over the years, I mean, ever since the Roman Empire converted to Catholicism, there's been attempts to take it out of the Bible, and other people say, no, we must put it in. So there's been a bit, it was a big dispute in the early days of the church about whether it should even be in the Bible or not.
I'm a Muslim, so I don't know. Is that
Is that the Old Testament or New Testament?
This is all New Testament. This is one of the last books which was actually written of the New Testament.
So the New Testament is actually disregarded by a lot of people.
Well, yes, but I think I think
the Hebrew sect is totally disregarded, isn't it?
Well, yes and no, but people do study this stuff even though they don't necessarily believe it, and it is probably the most wild and interesting.
Do you think he was high on drugs at the time?
No, I just think that he was very much loved by God and by Jesus, and he'd also John had been was one of, well, Jesus himself actually said that this is one of my closest friends. John, who was of all of the apostles, was one of the closest people to Christ as a person, and was also there when he was crucified. So it's not entirely surprising that Jesus would want to come back and give this vision to John, who was his closest friend while he was alive.
So let's go.
So the four horsemen, the book of Revelation goes through a whole load of events, which are actually total about 22 altogether. 22. But the first four are the four horsemen.
Right.
So this is the thing to understand, is that the idea is that the four horsemen are like a warning. When you see these four events happen, you know we're into this whole sort of progress of Revelation. And that we have four horses. And you might well ask, Cyrus, why horses?
Why horses?
Yeah, well, because it's the atmosphere of horses, right? The idea that you've got horses coming past outside your house on the cobblestones. This is the sort of thing almost gives people a feeling of slight panic. What's going on? Yeah. Something's changing. Yeah.
It's actually said from an Islamic perspective as well, and we've got different points of view, but we can debate still. That at the time of Jesus Christ's return, mankind, it says, states will be back on horseback again. So something cataclysmic is going to happen to put us in a state that horses will be back. It is being established, and that doesn't mean steeds, horses. It doesn't mean chariots or cars, horses. It will be time when we're back on horseback again.
Yeah, it's the idea of the horseman is the sort of, well, someone's turned up outside the door.
Yes.
Who is this? Yeah. And who can we hear in the street? Because an army has come into our town. Something's changing. So that was why I think that they chose horses to give this idea. So, but the other thing is, you know, many people dismiss Revelation. Many people dismiss all this and think, well, this is all just the rantings of crazy people. But even if you don't believe it, I still think it's really important that people understand it. Because fanatical people, should we say the Christian Zionists, people like that, who actually believe that they need to wage a war for God, yeah, this kind of attitude, people like that keep a very close look on Revelation and on the prophecies of the Bible, and their idea is to twist these prophecies in order to paint the bad guys as the good guys. I don't know if that's something you would agree with from your perspective, Cyrus. They're looking at biblical prophecy and saying, well, look, although we know we're the bad guys, we're going to try and twist things through the news media and public relations, whatever, to make ourselves look like the good guys.
This is why some people have said that they've taken the wrath and the curse of God upon them. So why would you want to join up with them? And, you know, some people don't want to talk about these things because exactly what you said there, they've twisted things around and manipulated in superior ways that are more pleasing to the governments than to God, who they claim say they're representing.
Yeah, and the government's puppeteers. I mean, this is the way I see it a lot, is that many governments, although they have some decent people in them themselves, there are puppeteers behind the scenes. I mean, if you look, for example, at Mrs. Thatcher in the 1980s, she was very, very close to Victor Rothschild. Victor Rothschild was, in many ways, more powerful than she was. The idea of the poll tax, for example, came from Victor Rothschild.
Yeah.
The idea to sack the Director General of the BBC in the mid-1980s, because the BBC were producing Panorama documentaries which were critical of Margaret Thatcher, that came from Victor Rothschild, as we've seen through Marmaduke Hussey's biography. So you can see that the government themselves are the people who, it seems, are put out in front of the public.
The fallacy
but actually
of freedom
they're not,
of speech.
But
really,
they're not necessarily the people who are making the real decisions.
No.
Yeah.
No, of course.
Anyway, to get back to the four horsemen,
yeah,
I mean,
on,
many
sorry.
People have heard of the four horsemen, but don't necessarily know what they look like or who they are. The four horsemen are actually four different colours. Couldn't you, if you've ever heard of them, the first one is the white horse, the second is a red horse, then a black horse, and then a pale horse. And they come one by one in that order. The White Horse is a little bit of a dispute about what that actually means, but it's in Revelation 6:1-2, and it looks to me, I mean, this is just my own spin, I suppose, it looks to me as if it's some kind of military victory which is being trumpeted around the world as a victory, but actually it's not a victory. So it's a disaster. Yeah, but it's being on all the TV and all that sort of thing. It's saying, "Oh, we've won." Now,
does anything spring to mind there?
Well, I wonder about the Iraq, that sort of thing. But then, of course, all our wars nowadays are spun by the press so much.
They are, and when you're actually talking about war and victory, and then for every soldier that goes across there, you can guarantee in 10 years or 5 years' time, there's going to be traumatic experiences happen, because you never go to war. You never, ever go to war one way and do not come back different.
That's true. Well, the other side of all this, of course, is that we hear about every single British serviceman that's killed, and that's quite right. But what we don't hear about is the other side. For example, ordinary, say a bomb falls on a little family in a little hut in Afghanistan, we don't hear about that.
No, exactly.
And this is a kind of actually quite a racist approach, I think. It's a weird approach. We should be treating all human life as valuable. Why is it that somebody who lives in a little cave and is a peasant in Afghanistan doesn't get the same treatment as somebody who's a British serviceman? I think everybody counts.
Don't you think it's sometimes it's that arrogance of the the colonial West of Europe, the colonial Europe, their class system. There's, like you said, there's racism involved in it, superiority.
Well, for me, it's just that the media isn't balanced, and I think we just need to be just aware of that.
Well, it wouldn't be balanced, would it? It wouldn't be balanced because these people go to those secret clubs. I hate that word, the gentleman, because when you strip away the layers and their clothes,
they're not very gentle.
They're not very gentle, and
I think some are. This is the thing: is that like I say, these places are great. We've got a gentleman's club in Bristol, haven't we? Up in Clifton, the Clifton Club, and actually many of the people there, you can get quite a cheap, the bar's quite reasonable price, and you can sit in there and you can read the paper, and it's all very cosy. But this, what I'm saying is that some of the people who frequent these are using them for their own political ends. Okay, do you want to do another horseman or do you want a tune?
We'll have a tune. Evil Jane. This is quite apt.
Now this is a story about my girlfriend Mary Jane. It's Dr. Evil. You ready, meeny me? Okay. Hello, Mary Jane. I can't get you off my brain. You take me higher than a crane. You're so sweet like sugar cane.
I keep on flying up.
You make me fly like Air Jamaica. You make me sing like Anita Baker. Come with me, cause I need to make ya. It's Dr. Evil. Mary, quite contrary. Girl, you must be my fairy. You give me wings like a canary. I'll shout so people can hear me.
Mary Jane, I love you dearly.
I always want you near me. You make me see clearly like Jimmy Split. I mean Jimmy Cliff.
An eclectic mix of music on the 93.2.
It's Dr. Evil.
Mary Jane, I love you so, I will never let you go. Mary Jane, I need you so, I will never let you go. Mary Jane, I love you so.
A typical topical Afro tropical show, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock every Thursday. The show that says to women, get back in the house and look after your husband. It's the political, radical points of views, news of the streets, music to make you dance and sing. It's a typical topical Afro tropical thing. Pin your ears back, is it too black, is it too strong? Anything they say we question, what, where, why? Give the typical topical Afro tropical a try. With Cyrus Favaris, there can only be one. BCFM, my son. 93.2 FM, every Thursday, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Too black, too strong.
They call it hip-hop, hip-hop, hip-hop.
And here we are with the revelations back on track. We got to the revelation number two now, Tony.
Well, this is the second event in the whole sort of course of events, which is the Book of Revelation. And
when would you say these events are going to occur?
See, the whole point of the horses, right? And this is one of the things that it took me a little while of studying the book to figure out. The whole point of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, it's like a loving father who knows that his children are going to come into some terrible times, but he wants to make sure that they're absolutely aware that he's still with them. So when these four events take place, the idea of the horsemen is so that anybody that is understands the Book of Revelation and knows the book well will understand, look, it's things are getting tough, but there's a reason for it and a purpose for it, and I'm a loving God and I'm still with you. So that's why I think we've got these four horsemen. The idea is just sort of signal, a warning, really, saying that all the other stuff is going to follow. But anyhow, the second horse is the red horse. So we had the white horse just now. That's the second seal in Revelation in Revelation 6, 3 to 4. And that's pretty, it seems pretty clear, the reading of that to me, that it's some kind of bloody World War III escalating. So some kind of really horrific World War getting out onto the... So we've had this kind of pretend victory as the first horse, and the second horse is like everything kicking off after that.
As I was saying earlier on about at the time of Jesus, it actually said, from an Islamic point of view, he says this third world war, God says I will slaughter, and the word he actually uses, I will slaughter three quarters of mankind. There will never be a family on the face of the earth that will not be affected by this. And this is what I was actually getting to. Are we getting to a place where there's powers, societies moving in positions, Tony? You're a man, you know.
We've had two world wars already, haven't we?
We've got the oil. We've got nuclear. We've got nuclear submarines as we talk right now, going through the Adriatic down to the Falkland Islands again, because they've actually found oil down there. We've got what's going on in Afghanistan. We've still what's going on in Iraq. There's covert and overt operations. Nothing's not stopped, and what's being reported and not reported. Many different fronts, and I'm sure there's other places, other lands that we've yet to hear about or discover, because they surely don't tell you willingly what they're up to.
Well, there's all sorts of stuff going on out there, but we've, like I say, we've had two world wars already.
Yeah.
We're now in a situation with an increasingly armed world, and also much more nasty weapons. We're talking about things like the fuel air bombs, cluster bombs, phosphorus shells, all this kind of stuff, which was, even in the beginning of the Second World War, was considered, you know...
horrible.
We've got it in our arsenal. It's there sitting in... It may be used, but we don't use it out of some sort of sense of... honour amongst thieves. Nowadays, it seems, many of the powers, including our own military, are starting to use some of these, illegal weapons.
I was just quickly coming there. If the government loves us so much, who cares? But everybody out there, listen to Cyrus if you can. Ask them for a gas mask and a nuclear, biological, chemical weapon fallout suit. Because even in the time of these things going on, you've got about 9 seconds to put that on. So why haven't you got one? That's a little thing. I'm just saying, I'm going to throw out.
Well, this is civil defence you're talking about.
Well,
isn't it,
really? It's civil defence. But let me tell you, every other war has got a chemical weapon in it.
Well, I know certainly in the 50s and 60s, that civil defence was taken very seriously in Britain. All of the major cities had big shelters, nuclear shelters, yes, built underneath them. In fact, some of the car parks in Bristol still may have.
Of course,
underneath them have nuclear shelters.
You've not inquired. You don't know where you're going to run to. It's like they say, they keep...
Well, the regime has changed. That's what I'm saying. Is in the 90s, they brought in something called the Civil Contingencies Act. And the emergency planning, emergency management now is very different. It's much more to do with looking after property and looking after businesses than it was in the old days. Yeah. The previous regime, the civil defence regime, was much more to do with looking after people and making sure people were looked after. So, I mean, it's a little bit worrying to see that the whole kind of direction of emergency management, crisis management, has moved away from that old, we've got to protect the population and look after the population. So we do wonder, I imagine, we wonder why we're paying our taxes for these kind of things to be taken away, and the whole changes like that to happen in. Because I think, every country has to be prepared for an emergency.
Yeah.
But I think that the primary concern must be surely protecting the population.
When they talk about a country, are we talking the chosen few or the majority who don't know? And it seems to be the chosen few, because most people won't know where to run. Most people in this country haven't got a gas mask.
Anyway, so yeah, so the second horse is the red horse, and that's a bloody World War III escalating. That's in Revelation 6 from 3 to 4.
More good news!
The next one is the black horse.
Oh, dear.
Now, that's the third seal, as it's called, as part of the, because there are seven seals in the first part of Revelation. And that's in Revelation 6, 5 to 6. That's a catastrophic global economic collapse, causing massive food scarcity and food price inflation. It actually talks in Revelation about food then being you're having to spend a week's wages just to buy enough food to eat for your feed your family for one day.
Yeah, well, it's got to say that it's going to Jesus. That says at the time of Jesus Christ, there will come a time just before the goodness comes, when one cow's head will be worth more than £1,000 to show you the prices of money for food. The cow's head.
And the next horse is the pale horse. That's the last one, the fourth one.
He's got to look out for him.
From Revelation 6, 7 to 8. And that's saying, I don't know how this would be interesting to see how this compares with your Islamic perspective, Cyrus. A quarter of the world's population is wiped out by disease and famine, and wild animals devour the bodies. Right. That's what he actually says, that, you know, bodies will be being eaten by wild animals in the streets.
Because of the war and the famine. Now, if you actually look at it, some of these things are actually taking place. I know from a lot of my contacts from soldiers in Iraq, a lot of the bodies were being eaten by dogs. A heck of a lot of dogs. A hell of a lot of dogs were eaten, and it was actually soldiers coming in and killing them up. This is already taking place. These things are taking place.
Well, I think it's kind of normal in a war zone, but what the book of Revelation is saying here is this sort of thing is going to be spreading in other parts of the world. Now, you did ask me at one point, when is this going to happen, and I kind of dodged the question, didn't I?
You did, Tom. you did, and you've done it rather expertly.
Well, I don't know about that.
Do you think it's the right when they say it's the last day? We say the day of Kukmo, the last day, or is it the last age? If it's the last day, because God also says it's about a time period, He will speed time up, and some days will be, some months will become like a year, and a year will become like a year will become like a month will become like a day, and this is all about the great cosmic changes that are going to take place. I just think, you know, when you're talking about this big war, it's actually prophesied that at this time, Jesus Christ will come back and he will land in Syria between the wings of two angels, and it is retribution. It's a day of retribution, and it says that whatever we want to believe right now, whatever law he comes with, or God's law, it will be accepted, it will be enforced, and it will not be turning. Because of what's been said about him, what's happened, it's well, you can imagine, if he kills the Antichrist, it's something, because there's going to be massive armies, there's going to be a lot of swarming. It's kind of worrying. Then after that, that's what I was talking about, the people of Gog and Magog come out, and there's some people are saying, oh, they're out already. No, they can't be out already, because certain events have to take place within the timeline, and it can't happen until after that, because it will be with Jesus, and the people that are with him will go to Mount Tor, and they will answer a prayer, because there's a set of people, these people come out from behind the mountain area. It's meant to be around right in the Caucasus Mountain area. It's meant to be. They're going to come out with a swarm. They're going to be like, it will take 7 years to burn their crossbows and arrows. So that's going to be and that's after that period. I think that's when the animals will be able to talk, and it'll be a blessed time with Jesus Christ, and get married and die at 73, I believe, and children. And then after that, that is the last period. There's been no good after that.
But I think, you know, like coming back to this thing about when, I reckon it's one of those things you just have to think, well, at the moment we're in a situation where we have some extremely powerful and evil people in some key positions who are trying to create more wars, and are getting more and more power and resources from the population, that is through taxes, to deal with it. You know, this is quite scary, where a society that just becomes geared up for war, even though actually nobody is attacking Britain. We're spending vast amounts of money on these wars in Afghanistan, and still a lot on the reconstruction in Iraq, which is, although our soldiers aren't supposedly there, there anymore. There's a whole load of mercenaries, of course, still there.
Loads of mercenaries.
And a lot of companies, mostly American, of course, are making a fortune out of the so-called reconstruction of it. We've got an evil system which is kind of moving into countries, taking them over, putting military bases all over there, and then saying, oh, now what we're trying to do is bring democracy.
We're bringing democracy.
Well, you don't bring the democracy at the point of a barrel of a gun, and I think we learnt that back in the Second World War and probably before that even.
My argument the other day was we've got nuclear missiles going all the way down. You can't even get down to the Falklands quickly. No matter how you try, you can just not get down there quickly. And now they've actually found oil down there. Is that going to escalate? Because, again, it's like there's a massive, great land mass of people there that claim to say, well, it's near us.
So I think at the end of the day, nobody knows when this is going to happen, and anybody that thinks they do is probably kidding themselves. This is why all these mystical types do very well out of saying, oh, I've got a crystal ball, come and pay me a few bob and I'll tell you what's in the crystal ball.
Don't worry, we expose them. Charlatans, don't you phone up Amethysticot if you fish out there. My friend Amethyst, she likes to read a crystal ball, don't you, girl?
But that's why everybody would like to see into the future. People want to know what's going to happen for them, but I think for a lot of the time it's missing the point. You just carry on, do your own thing in an honest and open way, and you just have to face things as they come along. Now, as for these events, I think when you've got the certainly when you've got the second seal, that's the World War III escalating, you've got a global economic collapse, food scarcity, and all this stuff to do with a quarter of the world's population being wiped out by disease and famine, it's pretty clear Revelation is on the roll.
So listening, as you heard it first with me, Sosvars, on the typical topical Afro-topical Tony Gosling, I'm going to play a quick tune, change your face for the ladies, and we're going to say goodbye, and that's it for this week. Sorry about this, people. Time waits for no man. So we're going to be plugging a few websites where you can find what Tony Gosling is saying about more conspiracy. If you like any of the books, any views, you can also log on www.bcfm.org.uk. Press presenters. So see me, Cyrus. And a bit more information on that page there for you. Can't be the other one. We'll be playing the full track of that next week, Changing Faces there. Tone, do you want to give out the web information?
Yeah, no, I think it's also worth saying, Cyrus, if people are on the BCFM website, bcfm.org.uk, we've got a survey on at the moment, which takes about 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes to fill in, and you can say what you think should be on the website and isn't, and it's just a way of sort of making sure our website is as people friendly as possible, community friendly. But if anyone's interested in this little report I've done on the Book of Revelation, because I spent a couple of years really looking through it and studying it to try and turn out this timeline of the 22 events of Revelation, they can go to bilderberg.org. that's bilderberg, bilderberg.org/trib. that's trib.htm. that's trib.htm, and that's just short for tribulation, because that's one of the things that biblical scholars talk about this time at the end of the world, as the tribulation
to come. Well, I hope that hasn't left you with too much tribulation. I hope you've enjoyed this afternoon as I've enjoyed being with you, Tony, on the typical topical. I'll be back here next week on the Sony award-winning station. I'll be back here on Monday with Steve Satan at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and that's me, Sarsaphar, saying goodbye. And have a good Thursday afternoon. We're going to be going out with something for the ladies with Keith Sweat. There you go, telling me again. All them world leaders, listen to the lyrics.
Are listening to BCFM 93.2.
BCFM is the community radio station for Bristol. It is run by volunteers and is here to give everybody in Bristol a voice.